In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Back in 1988, President Ronald Reagan signed a resolution that had been passed by Congress declaring October to be Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Since then, this remembrance has spread not only across this country, but around the world. And our Orthodox Church in America has heartfully endorsed and embraced this remembrance. There are excellent resources on the OCA's website, an article by Denise Krause, an author from Holy Trinity Orthodox Church in East Meadow, New York. Some of her material I'll actually be incorporating into today's sermon. As family and friends, it can be one of the more difficult things for us to face when someone we love loses a child, whether that child was born or whether that child was lost during pregnancy. We don't know what to say. We have our own feelings. We don't know what they're feeling, what they're thinking. And it's normal in the course of life that we eventually bury our parents. It's an unnatural order for us to bury children. And it's especially awkward when the child is lost during pregnancy. There's no burial, there's no funeral. How do you help? What do you say? And I think the first rule is the same as always, which is bear one another's burdens, as Paul tells the Galatians. Bear one another's burdens. Love the person like you always have, more so. Care about what happened. You know, you're not going to hurt mom's and dad's feelings by mentioning it. They're already hurt. Acknowledge what happened. Say you're sorry. Give a hug. And I think the most important thing to do is ask. Ask, ask. Let them guide. Ask how they're doing. Ask if there's something you can do to help. And with that comes the second rule. Don't say anything accidentally hurtful. We don't need to give advice. We don't need to try to minimize their grief. We don't know the reasons, so don't pretend we do. For example, don't say, at least you have other kids, because having others doesn't replace the one that's lost. Don't say you can always try again, because you don't know that. Don't say it was God's will, because you really don't know that. I call these accidentally hurtful because we mean well. We really do. Nobody says that to be hurtful. But we're trying to take away grief that isn't ours to take away. We're trying to minimize a person's grief. And not only does that not help, but it can actually hurt. We're called to bear one another's burdens, not minimize one another's burdens. To support them, not alleviate them. Stick with, I'm so sorry. What can I do to help? And to parents who are going through the loss of a child, we need to know that it is okay to mourn. There is no right way or wrong way to grieve. There is no time frame that says you have to get over it at a certain point and move on with your life, as if you can't live and grieve at the same time. Your grief may fade and then flood back. There's no logic to it. And if your grief can change day to day and moment to moment, remember that your spouse's and your other children's way of grieving might be very different than your own. Robert Frost wrote a story called Home Burial. It's a very dark and sad account of a rural couple who buried their little son, and in the course of the story, they're grieving, but very differently. The dad thinks the mom is not honoring the little son because she's stopped living. She's essentially become catatonic. Mom thinks dad's not honoring the little son because he's working harder than ever. How can you do all this work around the yard? How can you go out and fix fences on the very day you buried our son? It's a sad yet insightful commentary on how people grieve differently and sometimes don't even understand each other. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to grieve as long as you need to, and it is okay to grieve in whatever way comes naturally in the moment. And I think that's especially important to remember with miscarriage, when there may be no body to hold or bury, when the event feels all the more private. It doesn't mean the loss is less real. But there are things that, as believers, that we can cling to, that help us bear the burdens, not minimize them, but bear them. And what differentiates the grief of the believer, I think, can be summed up in the word hope. Paul says to the Thessalonians, we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. He doesn't say we don't grieve at all, but to grieve with hope. And yes, it's possible to do both at the same time. The grief that comes from our loss and the hope that comes from the promise that we will be reunited, those two things can happen at the same time. That your child lives with God and that so can you. And that from the day that child was conceived, you will never be alone. You will never be alone. They are with you always. From the day that child was conceived, they are precious in the sight of God. There is no child who is not saved. We know that. In the gospel we were blessed to read today, moms are bringing their infants to Jesus, and the disciples rebuke them, saying, you're interrupting the teaching of the master. And Jesus says, no. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, truly I say to you, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will never enter it. Unless you become like them, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Infants are the pattern of faith for us, not the other way around. And that's our source of hope, that children are given to us so we can follow them. They're given to us so that we know how to be believers. You know, this week in our church, of course, we remember also little Maddie Grace. And if you know her life, and some of that life is reflected in her hymns, if you know her life, there are plenty of details that are uniquely hers. Her physical disabilities, the strength she had to overcome them. The place and time she lived were unique to her. Her left hand praising God like the sun, that's uniquely hers. Her singing was hers. And yet other details she shares with infants and children everywhere. The singing, once again. Her soul filled with the Holy Spirit. The love she showed to other children. Kids have a way of turning sorrow into joy. And her love of God that was so obvious. And like all heroes of faith, our celebration of Maddie is in some ways a celebration unique to her, and yet in other ways she stands for all children, for all infants for whom we grieve with hope. You know, heroes of faith are like that. They're both unique and they stand for all of us at the same time. And Jesus tells us that unless we become like these infants, we're never going to get into the kingdom of heaven. They are our pattern, and that pattern, if anything, should give us hope. And perhaps in this month of pregnancy and infant loss awareness that our church has embraced, I ought to leave us with that singular message. While we don't know the reasons for the loss of an infant, we do know that God receives them, one and all, in his heavenly kingdom. And if our grief is filled with hope of seeing our youngest again in paradise, then we too are called to become like them. Amen.